Don is going to be preaching to us this morning from 1 Peter. I get the privilege of reading this text for you this morning, brother. And at Grace, as many of you know, if you're a guest with us this morning, what we like to do is I will say, hear the word of God. I will read the word of God. I will say, this is the word of God. And then we want to respond in deep gratitude that God would give us his word by saying, thanks be to God. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 7. Open your Bibles with me. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Master, Jesus, the Messiah. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah, from the dead. New birth into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for all of you. And you are being guarded by God's power through faith for that salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And so seeing all of that, you rejoice in this, even though now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, that your faith may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen. This Amen. Is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me this morning? Father, as we just heard from your apostle Peter, we bless you this morning because of your great mercy toward us. We thank you that because of the new birth that has been granted to us, because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we have hope. Father, we have living hope. We have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and being kept in the heavenly realms for us. But more than that, Father, as if that's not enough, you are guarding and keeping us. Yes and amen and hallelujah. Amen. And what a word, Father, to us this morning. Because we are a people living in a fallen world who have suffered grief in various trials. And I don't know what all those trials are for all of those that are here today, but you do. You know the hurts and heartache of every person present in this room today. You tell us in your word that you put our tears in your bottle, that you store a record of every hurt in your book, and you come right alongside us with your Holy Spirit this morning to guard us and keep us in yourself. Yes and amen and hallelujah.
Amen.
And so come now, Father, anoint all of us with your Holy Spirit to hear what you have to say. And come now, Father, and anoint my brother Don. May the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart be pleasing and empowered by you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love you, brother.
Thank you. Ron, I'm going to use your stool, if that's okay. I'll put it back. Oh, it is so good to be here. So good to be here. I am very grateful for this opportunity. My prayer and my hope is that we walk away from our time together over the next 2 to 3 hours. Just really, really grateful for, yes, really, really grateful for God's word. The song says, life is but a dream. Forrest Gump said, life is like a box of chocolates. I say that life is like a coffee bean. I do have a coffee company, so this might seem a little self-serving, but life as a follower is, if you'll bear with me, very much like a coffee bean. Hang in there with me. I'm going to take us to one of Jesus' lesser-known parables this morning. This is the parable of the coffee bean. Don't worry. Don't be dismayed. It's not in your Bible, but it's in mine, and it'll be okay. If you don't know me, I'm kidding. Let's start with the coffee tree. Beautiful Arabica coffee plant planted and growing up. Things are good. Cool mornings at 5,000 feet in northern Thailand in the Doi Mon Lan Mountains. Cool evenings, just the right amount of moisture, just the right amount of sun and shade. The coffee farms, if you ever get a chance to go to northern Thailand, are truly beautiful. Life as a growing coffee cherry is good. Blessings abound all around you. You are well cared for by the farmer. And things are going great. And you know what? Walking with Jesus can often be this way. Peter says, in this you rejoice. And in what is Peter saying that we should rejoice in? These amazing words that I'll read again that Pastor Matthew read a few moments ago. This is why we rejoice as Christians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to the great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. We could spend many, many Sundays on those verses alone. These are incredible conditions. If you're a Christian, these are the conditions that you are living in, that you have been given. You have been given mercy when it's not deserved. You have been turned from the walking spiritual dead to being born again, from being hopelessly lost in sin, unable to save yourself, to having a living hope. Not just a hope, but a living hope, a hope that rose up from the dead. And this salvation, it can never rot, it can never fade or rust or be stolen. Why? Because the security system around this hope is pretty good. Kept in heaven for you. And verse 5 says that our salvation is by God's power being guarded. I think it's pretty safe. If you will, in your imagination, you as a Christian are shade-grown Arabica coffee with Jesus as your farmer. These are amazing things. But we do have an enemy. There is a little monster called the coffee cherry boring beetle. This tiny little caffeine addict feeds on coffee cherries and bores into the coffee bean itself and destroys it, eating and devouring it. This reminds me of what Peter says later on in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Those are strong words. We are called to be awake, be alert, because someone wants to devour you by being vigilant, by setting traps, by watching the soil. The farmer of the coffee tree can maintain a healthy tree and a healthy farm free of this pest. And as we walk with Jesus, we must also watch out for the enemy's plan. To trip us up? No. Doesn't say that. To distract you a little? No. What does Peter say? Devour. Church family, Satan is real, and he is not playing, and he will take every opportunity to bore his way into your heart through all kinds of ways, through relationships, through media, through thoughts that just come up in your own head. We must be alert. We must be sober. We must be watchful. Church family, a massive thing is most likely on its way into your life. Are you doing the heart work now? Are you like the Psalm 1 tree where the psalmist says of this tree, it delights in God's word and is planted with deep roots that are fed by living water. So when the hard things come, when the trials come, when everything you think falls apart, you're prepared because your roots are deep. And you get your nutrients from the living word and from the bread of life. So the coffee cherry is now ripe, deep, dark red, full of sweetness. And it's thinking to itself, look at me. I'm doing pretty good. I'm really shiny. And I think I'm actually doing better than some of the other coffee cherries around me. I'm impressive. Reminds me of King David when we walked out onto that balcony and saw something and looked twice and looked three times and kept looking. And before you know it, adultery, murder. Wow. Pride come before a fall. So this coffee cherry is ripe and then it's picked from the tree and it's thrown into a basket. And if that isn't enough difficulty, the pulper comes. This machine, this pulper machine, is a machine that you stay away from its mouth. One of our farmers lost three fingers in the pulper. It does not play. It is meant to tear the flesh away from the coffee bean inside. Wait, I was good. Things were fine on the tree. Why this? This hurts. Why is everything being ripped away? Why am I being crushed and torn? What possible purpose could this serve? This is how I felt on August 5th, 2020, when my son went to heaven in front of me. Peter says, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. A little while, it seemed like a long while. But when we compare it to the riches and the hope of glory, it really is a little while. You see, your time in the pulper doesn't last forever, and it has a purpose. And boy, what a trial the last 5 years have been for me and my family. It's tested my faith. I've wrestled with God. I've said awful things to God. Do you know every time I said awful things to God, what I heard back? I love you. The church we went to when we first moved down to the Phoenix area had communion every Sunday. And every Sunday, I sat there with that bread and that juice, and I was reminded that God loved me so much, he gave his son on purpose for me. It's really hard to hate someone that would give you one of their kids. I held a grudge against God. I fought, I wrestled, I moaned, I groaned, I pouted. I just want to tell you, I'm really good at pouting. Like, I know this isn't biblical, but I think it might be my spiritual gift. Like, I'm really good at it. I finally surrendered. I learned how to lament. You know, surrender is interesting because, you know, pouting and anger, if you will, in your body language, and any of you that have your arms crossed right now, I think you should uncross them. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but pouting and navel-gazing and anger, this is like this, and you're just like, oh, man, you're so focused on yourself. But surrender in our culture is this: I surrender. And worship is this. I'm telling you what, it's really hard to get to worship from this, but it's much easier to get to worship from this. I surrender, God. I worship you. I praise you. I love you. I trust you. So I learned to lament. I think it's interesting Wasn't proud of the fact that 24 years as a pastor, and I honestly really didn't know what lament was. I never taught on it. So my wife started reading this book. My wife is my hero. So I'm not emotional. I just had something in my throat. She modeled lament. She gave me this book. I started reading it. I threw it across the room, again, pouting. But this book was great. I think we have a picture up here. It's by Mark. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. If you're walking through something hard, I highly recommend it. He just really breaks lament down into something very, very simple and easy to think about. He says, the first step in lament is you turn to God. Sometimes that's all you can do. That's okay. Turn to God. Then you complain and you cry out. Do you know that God wants to hear your complaints and your cries and your hurts and your agony and the things you don't like? He welcomes what's going on in your heart. Then it's ask. Ask for help. Ask for him to take it away or to fix the problem or to give you the strength to deal with it. And then finally, the last step of lament is surrender. And then you rinse as repeat as needed. To cry is human. To lament is Christian. For everything. Let's say you didn't like some things that were going on in the world. I mean, use your imagination. Lament. Take it to God. And if you don't believe me, believe Jesus' example. What did he do in Gethsemane? The night before he was crucified, he got on his knees and he went to the Father. He cried out to the Father. He asked him, the Son of God said, could we not do this? Three times. And then he surrendered. Praise God in heaven that he surrendered. But look at Jesus' example. His humanity cried out in lament to his good, good Father. During this season of my life, I've worked hard to elevate my thinking. In our family, we say, Parker went to heaven. It's interesting how many people give us a double take when we say that. Even Christian people. Look what Peter says about this inheritance, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept where? Heaven for you. My boy's with the Lord. I have that hope. It's not a hope that's based on me. It's a hope that's based on Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says we don't grieve as others do who have no hope. The worst day of my life was the best day of Parker's life because he closed his eyes and he was with the Lord. And Jesus is the only thing that can never be taken from you because everything else can be taken. Loved ones, health, freedom, finances. So what do you hope in? Who do you hope in? And I had to learn this lesson over the last few years, the difference between hope and optimism. All right? Optimism is about my own gumption. I don't know what gumption is, but my dad used to say that word. Gumption. Like my own guts, my own strength, my own power. That was eliminated and ran out really quick. But hope in the Lord will never run out. Will never fade, can never be taken. Why? Because the stone was rolled away. Once run through the pulper, the coffee beans are fermented and dried, and this looks really pretty. Look at those beautiful coffee beans fermenting in the sun. You know what's something? I got a chance to rake some of those fermenting beans, and you know what? They stink. The waiting for the drying, they stink and it takes time, but it's necessary. It's hard work. They have to be covered in the evening so that the morning dew doesn't increase the moisture again. And I think about Peter here, Peter's growth. from saying to Jesus when he asked, who am I? You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. To moments later, get thee behind me, Satan. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? From pray with me, Peter, pray with me, to snoozing and not praying. From denying Jesus three times to writing two of the letters in God's book. Growth is hard. Growth is messy, smelly work. Will we put in the time to allow believers in Christ who are brand new to the faith to grow? Will we give them room for growth? Babies are interesting things, right? Like, they're just interesting. They do some things really well. I don't think I need to talk about the things that they do really well. Oh, okay, I'll talk about them. They cry. They go boom, boom in their diaper. And they... Okay, I'll say it. They vomit a lot. It's gross. Babies are gross, all right? Those of you that work in the nursery, God bless you for working in the nursery, because that is not easy work. And you know what? When someone comes to Christ and they're older in life, they are a spiritual baby. Will we allow them to make a mess in our church sometimes? Will we love them through those hard seasons? Will we let them grow? We all grow at different rates. We all came to the Lord at different times. Will we give grace and mercy that has been given to us to our brothers and sisters who aren't as far along the road as us? Right? See, that's what the church is supposed to be. A place where broken people can come and grow closer to Jesus Christ, which is the mission and the vision of Grace Church. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Some faster than others, some slower than others. They will know we are Christians by how we judge one another. No, by how we love one another. So the coffee bean is now milled and sorted. They call what comes off of the coffee bean at this point parchment. More taken off. I've been picked at. I've been torn apart. I've stunk. I've been dried enough already. Enough already. But Christian growth takes time, and it can be hard. And I had this attitude after Parker went to heaven that I'm not going to suffer anymore because this is too much. I couldn't imagine the pain. I pray to God in heaven that none of you would ever know the pain of losing a child. It is inexpressible. But I thought, and I made a deal with God, we're good now, right? No more? My attitude now, on the good days, is that if my life can be used to draw even one person to Jesus, I trust you, God. I trust you. It's taken a long time to be able to say that. Dried and sorted, the coffee bean is now perfect, right? No. Coffee beans taste terrible at this point. They are hard and they're green, and all the goodness, the caramelized sugars and the rich flavor that you love in coffee is only potential now until it's what? Roasted. Are you kidding me? Proverbs 17:3. In the same way that gold and silver are refined by fire, the Lord purifies your heart by the tests and trials of life. He is a master roaster. I just started roasting a few months ago. The coffee you drank this morning, I roasted it. I don't know if you should clap or you should boo. I don't know. There's plenty of creamer and flavorings in the foyer, all right? But when you roast coffee, it takes attention. It takes time. You don't just apply the heat willy-nilly. You take care. There's airflow. There's all these different things that you have to learn and you have to do. Because I want that coffee to taste as good as it can taste. I want it to live up to its full potential. That's what God wants for you. So he allows trials. He causes trials. Peter says, and I like the New Living Translation of verse 7 of 1 Peter 1, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than," I love this, "mere gold." Ah, gold schmold. You cannot control trials. All you can do is control how you handle them. Will they sweeten you or will they make you bitter? Will you grow or will you shrink? Because coffee beans grow sometimes double in size as they are roasted. And a good roaster knows the perfect time and temperature for each batch of beans. How much more does our Heavenly Father know what is good for you? What you need for your growth and ultimately for his glory? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood outside of a roaster. It was hot. So hot that the people that threw them in the roaster didn't make it. For them, the safest place was in the furnace. I want to talk to those guys post being roasted. How was their faith after that? Amazing. And when the furnace of this life heats up, will you trust God that it's for your growth and his glory? So you are now roasted to perfection. We're getting there. Bigger, looking good. You smell amazing. Roasted coffee smells amazing. Those natural sugars inside of you, they're caramelized into sweetness. I'm good right now. I have reached the pinnacle. What is next? What's next? You say it with me. Say it. The grinder. Again, are you kidding me? This is where I really come to think about the tension of this life, because comfort pursuing in this life ruins Christian vitality. Jesus says two things. They don't really seem to align. John 10:10, I have come to give you life abundantly. Sign me up for that. I want that. Abundant life. Bring it on. John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation. I don't want that. I want abundant life. I don't want that kind of pain. I don't want the grinder. I don't want the roaster. I want comfort. Comfort seeking destroys Christian vitality. Ran across this quote. I was reading a book. It says, "Coffee, like life, is about receiving the bitterness and the sweetness together." That's my life right now. It will be my life until Jesus takes me home. I carry a heavy weight of grief. It is a heavy weight. I don't know why God has asked me to carry it. I also carry a light joy that is that Jesus loves me, died for me, wants me to serve him, and that somehow Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can use me. That's a miracle. Do you know what? He can use you too. He wants to use you. Finally, the cup of coffee is ready, right? The bean, the single bean, is put in the grinder, ground up. Oh, how good would a cup of coffee be with only one coffee bean? It takes a lot of coffee beans to make just one cup of coffee. And you see where I'm going here. You're in church, so I'm preaching to the choir, really. But isolation is not good for Christ followers. We need community. We need brothers and sisters that will look at us, come alongside us, especially as we're growing, and go, "You know what? I love you, but your diaper stinks." I mean, just keep it real. That's true Christian love and friendship, is that I love you and I have a relationship with you, but I'm going to have courage to say, I'm concerned about some things. We need each other. And some of you will say, maybe one or two of you, I've been hurt by the church. If I asked everybody to raise their hand who's been hurt by the church, we would all look like we're on a roller coaster right now, or Pentecostals. Because there are people in the church. But again, can you forgive? Can you love? Can you overlook a tremendous wrong that may have been done to you and say, Father, forgive them. I don't think they know what they were doing. I didn't want to go to church after Parker went to heaven, but I went. I needed to go. I still go because isolation destroys. And there's something about worshiping together with God's people that is so precious. Galatians 6:2 maybe encapsulates what we are here as a church to do more than anything else. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Jesus told us, love God and love others. That's the law of Christ. That needs to be expressed first and foremost between brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. In conclusion, I don't know what God has asked you to carry. I don't know. Probably heavy things, hard things. Will you trust him, even though it makes no sense? Will you believe that he is good, even when it doesn't seem good? I can think of no better passage for us to read together in conclusion than Proverbs 3:5-8. And as the worship team comes up, let's read this together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. And usually we end here. But look what it says in the next two verses. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Here's the payoff. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones if you will trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. All we need truly is Christ. Thank you.